Well, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a few announcements I'd like to share with you this day as we begin our service. Number one, and this one didn't get printed in the bulletin, unfortunately, but David will be on call for me this week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'll be away at the last of my retreat sessions for the Reynolds Program in Church Leadership. Down in Greensboro. So David will be on call for me this week. So thank you, David. He says to please call him. He likes to talk. No, just kidding. He says no one ever calls, so just kidding, David. Please make that note, if you will. Also, I have about 10 or 11 folks signed up for the Francis Asbury study that's coming up. If you would like to take part in that, we'd love to have you. You don't have to have read the book in order to take part in the study. We'll have a summary of a few things. I might highlight a few quotes from the book, and we'll have some discussion around the topics that get raised there. So if you would like to take part in that, please send me an email or just let me know, and I will get you added to that. You're encouraged to get a copy of the book if you're able to on your own. And bring that with you. But otherwise, even if you can't get the book or read it, you can still come and take part in the study, because I think it'll be a really interesting and insightful sort of thing. Those dates are mentioned there in the bulletin. I'll turn it over for another announcement.
I am a heart patient, and I have a defibrillator.
My mother has AFib, and she might need one.
I had a heart attack a few hours after the crop walk several years ago. Mine was mild, but I might have needed a defibrillator.
My mother had sudden cardiac arrest, and one saved her life.
I'm a family doctor, and I have a defibrillator in my office.
I have patients who have heart problems, and I recommend this.
I've had my own share of issues. I've got a defibrillator installed also.
This is an AED. Anyone, anytime, my first patient respond to CPR when I was a paramedic student under Jerry Beyond. And so I don't want us to ever have to see that, but I want us to be prepared if we need to. Okay, it would be, in doing so, you will have done something that is needed to help another back on the road to life, and you will have taken the Good Samaritan values and put them to the present day. Please consider signing up for one of these classes, and I think we should let Megan Shook know how much we appreciate this gift of a valuable piece of life-saving equipment, and thank each of you to take the time and sign up for a class. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And as Anne is making her way back to the organ, I invite you to stand and turn in your hymnals to number 369 as we sing together our opening hymn. Did I hear something?
Gordon.
Oh, Gordon has an announcement.
Which I told you about.
I'm sorry, Gordon. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you. And it's with that I can really say with this next hymn, Blessed Assurance. Number 369. And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 837, as we read responsively from Psalm 116. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and my supplications and has inclined his ear to me whenever I called.
The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol, they hold
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I beseech you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, the Lord saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I walked before the Lord in the land of the living.
I kept my faith, even when I said, I'm greatly afflicted.
I said in my consternation, all humans are vain hope.
What shall I return to the Lord for all my benefits? I'll pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Please be seated, and I invite our children to join me down front for our children's time. I have a little sheet of paper for you today that's got a strange looking thing on it. There you go, sir. Have y'all ever seen these before? It's a strange little image. But I want you to look at it, especially the little kids. There's four dots right in the middle. Do you see those four dots right there? Look at those four dots right in the middle there. See them? See? Yeah. I want you to stare at those for 15 seconds. Okay? So focus your eyes real tight on those four dots for 15 seconds. Ready? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And now close your eyes real quick. Do you see something? You don't? I do. What do you see? Yeah, what does it kind of look like? Kind of looks like Jesus, doesn't it? Isn't that neat? Well, you could take that home with you and try it later. We won't try it again this morning. But sometimes it can be hard to see Jesus. And I'm not talking just like looking out with our eyes and saying, oh, there's Jesus. Because Jesus in our time can take many forms. We can see Jesus all around us whenever our friends are sharing, whenever we're comforting somebody who's hurting, whenever we're just telling people about the good news of Jesus. Jesus can be present in all of those times, even if we can't see him. Jesus' presence can be with us even right now, and whenever we share communion later on today. Yeah, we're having communion later. In the story that we're going to be talking about this morning, Jesus' disciples are walking down a road, and a person they didn't know comes up next to them. And they were walking for 7 miles. Y'all ever walk 7 miles? It's a long way. It's a long way, isn't it? Well, they're walking 7 miles, and this person comes up next to them, and it was Jesus, but they didn't know that it was Jesus. And this was the day of Easter. This was Easter Day, 33 AD, so a long, long time ago. And Jesus, who had risen from the dead, was walking next to them, and they didn't realize it, but they were talking about all the stuff that had happened leading up to Easter, when Jesus was crucified and all the stuff that Jesus had done during his life, and they just didn't realize that it was him next to them. And so I think that it would be good for us to remember that we can see Jesus and we can feel his presence in all sorts of times, even in our day. And sometimes that might even take forms that we might not expect. Sometimes we might even see Jesus in people and moments that we would really not expect to. So keep your eyes open, okay? Let's have a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your presence with us that continues even to this day. And we ask that you be with us this week, that we might share the gift of your good news and the gift of your Spirit with others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. I think Merritt has a word about our stuff today, our special collection. Our bread tin offering, can you all help?
I'd remind you that with our bread tin offering this month, we are helping to enable a promising young boy from Africa who is a victim of the turbulence of that and privation of that country to get an education. And the striking thing is how little it actually costs for us to provide a year of education for this promising young boy whose promise will not be fulfilled unless he gets a little bit of help. So please give generously for that. The other thing I'd like to remind you of is that today is Native American Ministries Sunday, and that's a special collection, one of the six special Sundays in our church calendar. There's a little slip of paper in here, and it talks about a young man, and he was enabled to go to Duke University and become a minister. He's a Lumbee. Last month, we actually were collecting money in our bread tin for the Blackfeet Indians of Montana. Montana. But one of the things that it's worth reminding ourselves of is that Native Americans are the minority in this country least likely to go to college or university. There are a variety of socio-political reasons for that, but there are certainly economic reasons. And so one of the reasons that we collect money for Native American Ministry Sunday is to enable people to go to college. And we might think of the Blackfeet, we might think of the Cherokees. I'm quite aware of the Lumbee people of eastern North Carolina because I've spent some time in Pembroke and because one of my colleagues is married to a Lumbee. But please give generously to Native American Ministry Sunday as well and enable some of our Native American brothers and sisters to take advantage of higher education. Thank you.
Let me do this through the mic. If you're writing a check for Native American Ministry Sunday, please mark your check Native American so that the counters can get it done appropriately. Thank you. Before our scriptures are read, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed at the bottom of our bulletins. Let us pray. Lord, you opened the meaning of the scriptures to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and set their hearts ablaze. By the power of your Spirit, kindle our hearts as we hear your word proclaimed, that we may receive you with joy. Amen. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now on that same day, Easter, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things that I love about my job, my life, is that of every week when I study the scriptures, something new comes up. I've preached 4 sermons over the course of 14 years on this text here, and every time, it never fails, something new that I never saw before comes up. I guess I could think about it 2 ways. I could think about it as, boy, I'm not very bright. I guess we could all think about it in some ways like that. Or we could think about it that these texts, these stories in our Bibles, have so much wealth to them and are so rich and deep and full that we can never get to the bottom of all of them. We've been trying for thousands of years to do it, and we've not been able to yet. And isn't that glorious? I think it's wonderful. Well, as most of y'all know, this week my grandmother passed away, and on Wednesday, we buried her next to my grandfather there in Statesville. And I've been kind of sad this week, as most of us are whenever funerals happen. And as I was in my office on Tuesday, I went down. She passed away Sunday, just right after church. I went down to Statesville to help my father with the arrangements. And I came back home Tuesday, and... Monday night, and I just went to my office, and I said, okay, I'm going to study, I'm going to put all these feelings, I'm going to, you know, get them down, I'm going to go on with my routine, I'm going to just immerse myself in the Scriptures. And that's what I did. And then I read verse 17 there. And it stood out to me like never before. I'd read it before. I'd read it before, several times even. But it never really leapt out to me like it did on Tuesday. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. They stood still, looking sad. For some reason, well, I know the reason, but that text leapt out at me. I'm sure whenever things happen in your lives that you read Scripture differently because of whatever happens. But so those words really stood out to me this week. And I felt this keen connection to Cleopas and his companion when I was reading through about their journey to Emmaus. This story's ripe with irony, isn't it? I mean, Jesus appears. It's almost humorous. Jesus appears to these two disciples, Cleopas and another unnamed disciple. Some scholars have suggested that this could have been his wife, because it wasn't customary to always use the name of a woman in that time and culture, particularly in writing, and that they were going back from Jerusalem to their hometown, maybe, just to try to get some routine and pattern back in their lives. But who knows? However, it's just ripe with irony, isn't it? Jesus says, "What are y'all talking about? Oh, well, are you the only person who doesn't know the stuff that's happened this last week in Jerusalem? What stuff?" And they begin to tell Jesus all about, well, Jesus, and all about the things that he's done, and all about the miracles and the teachings. And then I read another verse that just really leapt out at me again. Verse 21. "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. That word in the Greek is written in the past tense. But we had hoped that he was the one. Not, but we hope that he's the one that's going to redeem Israel. But we hope that he will be the one to yet redeem Israel. No, but we had hoped. Past tense. What are we as a people without hope? What's anyone without hope? Hope is more than just simply a Pollyanna sort of enthusiasm about just feeling good about the present or the future, isn't it? Hope is that glimmer in the darkness that can never be extinguished. But Cleopas and his companion weren't exactly brimming over with hope that day, were they? But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Can you imagine a situation more hopeless than, say, a Nazi concentration camp? I learned this week about a guy named Viktor Frankl. Some of you may have heard of him. He was a prisoner in four different concentration camps. One of them was Auschwitz. He was a psychiatrist, and his pregnant wife, his parents, and his brother all perished in the concentration camps. He alone from his family survived. And he writes about his experience there. Much like Elie Wiesel and Knight, Viktor Frankl writes about all this too in Man's Search for Meaning. When he was at the end of his rope in the horror of the Nazi concentration camp, deprivation was just the word of the day for him. Every possession that he had been lost. Every value had been destroyed. Somebody, one of the foremans, actually gave him a small little piece of bread. Just a small little piece of bread that one of the foremen had kept in his pocket, saved from his rations there. And Frankel writes, "I remember how a foreman secretly gave me a piece of bread, which I knew he must have saved from his breakfast ration. He said it was far more than the small piece of bread, which moved me to tears at the time. It was the human something this man also gave to me, the word and the look that accompanied the gift. Even in the midst of all the horror of a concentration camp, one of the people responsible in some part saved a piece of bread to give to him." In the lesson this morning, the full revelation of who Jesus is and the meaning behind his death and his life comes in the course of the breaking of bread, and it still does today. I want you to notice that when they first encountered the risen Lord, the two disciples were standing still, weren't they? They stood still, looking sad. That was when they first encountered Jesus. After the breaking of the bread, after Jesus did that momentous action that he did so many times with his disciples, that of taking, breaking, blessing, and giving. After that action, that's when their eyes were opened. After the meal they shared, their burning hearts illumined their blind eyes, and their weary souls were quickened for a 7-mile nighttime run in the moonlight of Easter. I love that. I love how when they first fail to see Jesus, even though he's there, in the midst of their hopelessness, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their hurt, Jesus is still there right next to them. They just fail to recognize him. And whenever he talks to them, they stood still, looking sad. But then, after the breaking of the bread, when their eyes were opened, they ran in the middle of the night to get to Jerusalem to tell their friends that Jesus had risen and was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Amen. As we move to that time in our service when we lift our prayers to God, I have a few additions to our prayer list. Clara Sykes, Davy's sister, passed away. So please keep Davy and Don and everyone in the family in your prayers this day. It was yesterday. Yeah, so please keep them in your prayers. Keep my family in your prayers with the passing of my grandmother. Are there others? Well, if not, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. For the church throughout the world, we lift our hearts to you, O Lord, that as together we all celebrate the great 50 days of Easter, that we might together renew our faith and strengthen our witness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our government, and for governments around the world, its leaders, and those impacted by decisions. We lift up to you, O Lord, the people of Ukraine, the people of Iraq, Syria,
Afghanistan, and indeed, O Lord, all of those areas of the world where your peace and your presence is truly in need of being made known. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you, O Lord, the poor and the stranger, that they might receive a place of refuge and hope, that the church might offer hospitality, just as the disciples offered Jesus that hospitality on the road to Emmaus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you, O Lord, this day the sick and those who are in distress, that they might find healing for their pain, and that fullness might be restored to their lives. We lift up their doctors and nurses and all the caregivers and loved ones who are by their bedsides. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift up to you our prayers for those who are grieving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him with our offerings.
Through.
Let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your grace, accept the fruit of our labor and the offering of our lives. Let us be a sacrifice of thanksgiving in union with our risen Lord, who lives and reigns with you forever. Amen. Please be seated. You are invited to turn to page 15 in our hymnal for the Great Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, joining with me in the words that are printed in bold. I would remind you that in the United Methodist Church, the Lord's table is open to anyone who wishes to receive. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You saved your people through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is both Lord and Messiah, that all who repent in his name are forgiven. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but is revealed now for our sake. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, we're bold to pray as our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Because there is one loaf, we, though many, are one in Christ Jesus our Lord. The bread which we break is a sharing in Christ's body, and the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in his blood. Broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you. Did you find it? Thank you. Thank you. I invite the choir to come first, and then our ushers will guide you as to when to come forward. Come, let us keep the feast of Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you give yourself to us. May our hearts burn within us as we encounter the risen Christ in our lives, and grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit, giving of ourselves for others. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace. And I would remind you that David and Katie have a healing station, a healing prayer station set up over here if you are interested in that. Christ for us, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. Janie, the body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. Let us pray. Eternal God, for this holy mystery, we are ever grateful and thankful. Accept the gift, O Lord, of our lives, that as we leave this place, that we might go out to be your presence in a hurting world. Amen. Go in peace. Let us pray. Risen Lord and Savior, accept our thanks and praise for this gift of this holy mystery. O Lord, as your presence has been made known to us in this, help us that as we leave this place, we may make your presence known elsewhere. By the gift of our lives, our words, our actions. For we offer them in the name of Christ. Amen. Go in peace. Body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. Keith, the body of Christ, broken for you. One of the body of Christ, broken for you. 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 Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. Grant that as we go out into the world, that we might go with renewed strength, running even to share your great good news. Amen. Go in peace. This cup of blessing and the bread of heaven, we give you our thanks and praise. Be with us as we leave this place, that we might go in the strength of your Spirit, offering ourselves for others. Amen. And peace. Let us rise for our final hymn. It's number 362, Nothing But the Blood.
Yeah.
be genuine in love through the living and enduring Word of God. And may the grace of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, and the love of God who raised him from the dead, and the power of the Holy Spirit who fills the world with new life, bless you and keep you this day and always. Amen.